Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm going to be reading from 1 John 1, chapter 5, through 1 John 2, chapter 27, or verse 27. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which we walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because there is no lie in the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him.
Thank you so much, Dre. That's going to be our focus text for today as we kind of just, spend some time right there. I love that because we are spending some time in 1 John, and so if you have your Bibles, now would be a good time to be there. We're in 1 John, and one of the hard parts that I've been finding about 1 John is it's really meant to be a sermon that's said. And so we're really taking this guy's kind of sermon, something that's meant to be heard out loud. It's one of the reasons I asked Ray to read kind of a longer section there, because sometimes we chop it all up, even kind of we're already doing that by putting this sermon, this kind of message that John wanted us to hear audibly with our ears, not just to necessarily look at. Although we have a Bible reading plan online around 1 John, and I'd encourage you to get into it, it's meant to be heard. And so what makes it a little hard is his argument is kind of circular, and so you keep getting back. Like, he doesn't write quite like Paul writes, where it's kind of like linear, it's kind of, you know, the next point and the next point and the next point is going to be kind of where you need to be going. John doesn't do that. He kind of like goes back to themes and brings it back in and brings it around, and all of a sudden you're back at the beginning and you're just kind of all over. And it makes it a little bit difficult to honestly kind of break down and teach it. But man, that's why it's so important to just hear it. And to just hear it. This morning, I have 4 points over that text. Honestly, there could have been about 52 points. There's not. I'm going to break it down into 4 points that I want to kind of cover, that just kind of God's put on my heart that I want to share with you this morning, and I hope it blesses you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, if that's cool. Let's just go to Him in prayer and seek Him and ask Him to speak to us now. God, we do. We come before You, and we recognize that apart from You, if Your Spirit isn't in this right now, this is just kind of like empty words that go into our ears, and maybe we think about them as cool little points and thoughts, but man, God, we don't want that. We want heart change this morning. We want You to work in us in such a way that we would be changed, that we would hear something that moves our very being, that moves our heart. And so please do that kind of work this morning, God, because only You can do that. We can't even do that ourselves for our own lives. We literally need You to do that kind of work in us. So please now, we beg of You to speak to our ear, not only our ears, but also our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Point number one, here it is. Asking for forgiveness is really hard. That's my first point. Asking for forgiveness is really hard. Man, this past week, Jackie and I, my wife and I, we kind of got a little bit sideways a little bit at one point during the week. You ever have that happen? No, of course not. Y'all are good. No, Jackie and I just one point this past week, we just kind of got a little sideways with each other. We just kind of weren't seeing eye to eye on some stuff. And we started kind of, you know, just jabbing each other a little bit here and there. And it got to a point where I just needed to literally like just stop. I just kind of stopped and I was like, man, I just need to ask for forgiveness, because honestly, like 99.9, maybe even 100%, I don't know, was my fault, okay? Let's be honest. No surprises. Everybody's like, yes, we know, Seth. But I finally was just like, you know, I was just like, babe, I'm sorry. Honestly, my some of my own selfishness, ego, I heard ego over here, some of my own selfishness, some of my just kind of demeanor, some of my words that I've been saying to you this past, this kind of couple hours, day, whatever it was, I'm sorry. And I recognize that I made a mistake and I shouldn't have done that. That was really hard. That was really hard to do. That isn't easy. To go and confess to somebody like, I made some mistakes. I screwed some stuff up. I let my feelings, I let some emotions get in the way, and I screwed up, and I'm sorry. And to have Jackie say, Seth, I forgive you. You are forgiven. Was a really powerful thing. It's a really important thing. But it's not easy to ask for forgiveness, because when you ask for forgiveness, it's embarrassing. You have to suck up a lot of pride. It's not easy to acknowledge that I don't have it all figured out. I've made some mistakes, and I'm sorry. That is hard. That is hard. And notice one of the texts. What does John say? What does John say here in verse 8? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Moving the little mistakes you make, sometimes our culture teaches us that kind of stuff, right? That like we make little mistakes. We do some things we maybe shouldn't do. Okay, fine, we maybe hurt some people around us or whatever. But calling that thing a sin is honestly, our culture doesn't get that. That makes no sense to our culture. But when you can move something like addiction or getting angry at somebody and maybe saying something you shouldn't say, or when you can move something like the thing you think about when you think about that neighbor or that person that you probably shouldn't think, or when you can move some of these things from the category of mistake or little oopsie to like sin, that's a huge deal. That's gigantic. Where are some of those things in your life? As you think about some of the corner cutting maybe at work, you know, just kind of cut this little corner here. Maybe when you're kind of like in traffic, you'll kind of flip off the person cutting in or something. Or maybe you don't even do that actually. Maybe it's just like, maybe it's you think about doing that thing. Like when you can move from the category of making a little mistake to sin, that's a big deal. If we don't acknowledge that we're sinners, that's a problem. Where are you at today with that? That's a huge first step to acknowledge I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. Not only do some of these little things that I do kind of taint my relationship with the people around me, it actually affects my relationship with God Himself. And it's not okay. God gets brought into the picture. What do you do with that? Now, this is huge. This is why verse 8 is there, and it's kind of a little bit crazy. But then look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? I mean, verse 9 is one like you need to like literally underline that baby. You'll go back to that baby time and time and time again. If you got your Bible and a pen, I would literally right now underline it. It's awesome. Even though we acknowledge our sin, we then have an advocate, one who has forgiven us. We've literally had somebody who's gone to the cross for us, who's paid the price for our sin. He's taken our sin upon Himself and paid the price to put us back into relationship with the God of the universe. That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing. We've been forgiven. That's what we talked about just a little bit ago earlier, right? We've been forgiven. But this is what leads us to our second point. Forgiveness is never the end result. And I don't know, I probably could have thought of better ways to say this stuff, but this is just kind of my brain, okay? Forgiveness is never the end result. Forgiveness is never simply for forgiveness' sake. Sometimes we can treat it like that. Here's a case in point. When I was growing up, I went to a church that was very, you're not going to even know some of the words, but like liturgical, okay? Some of you know what that means, some of you don't. But essentially, like every week was very much the same. There was kind of like the same elements every time, and you said the same things, and you kind of just went through the motions of kind of doing that. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. Actually, there was a point in the service during what's called the offertory. There was a point in there where we sang something from Psalm 51. And it kind of was like, you actually said it. You were like, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Okay, some of you are from the same church or something? What? You guys from Wisconsin? I love it. I didn't know that. Booyah. Okay, but listen. Actually, quick side note. Real quick side note. I didn't memorize that. Do you know why I know that? because I said it a lot. Like every other Sunday, I said that. This is one of the reasons why we love kids in worship. This is just total side note. This is a little bonus teaching. We love kids in worship because I believe that when our kids are witnessing and experiencing something like the Apostles' Creed or something like the Lord's Prayer or something like watching mom or dad or grandpa and grandma as they sing out some of the songs, as they witness the things that we're actually saying, like, I really believe this to be true. I believe those things are actually being taught even when it seems like they're just kind of screwing around. Does that make sense? I actually believe there's some things that are being passed on that are really important. That are really important. So much so that we don't just want to just try to get all the kids out of here. No, like there's something really important about some of this. But okay, now go back. Okay, so that was positive, my little positive spin on that. But as I was thinking about that Psalm 51 text, it was interesting because I actually opened up this past week to Psalm 51. And you know what's fascinating? See, that whole thing, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence. It's all about like David who made just a big mistake. He just did a big sin, bunch of them. And he's going and asking God for forgiveness, and he's being brought this forgiveness, and it's awesome. But it seems like, and it sounds like, it's always just about him. But then I went and actually looked at verse 13, Psalm 51, verse 13, which is not in that little song. And listen to what it says. Then, so do all this, God. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. I will teach this now to other people who are sinners. And sinners will return to you. What's going on there? It's almost like there should be an added part there. I don't know how to say. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways. I don't know. But you know, like something. I'm sorry. Seems like there should be more. Because see, forgiveness is not for forgiveness' sake. It's a starting spot, but then it bleeds out to what? So then I can teach others. So that then this gets shared with others. So that this begins to spread to others. Look at chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 John. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. It's not just about me getting forgiven, which is sometimes how this can come across. Even the cross of Jesus, we sometimes turn as if the cross is the end. See, no. The cross is not a means unto itself. The cross is a means to something even more. That's important. That's not something everybody understands. See, sometimes we treat the cross like it's the end. I've even seen this as I've been part of different churches. Some churches that I've gone to have literally, and this is just interesting watching church culture, and sometimes I geek out about some of this stuff, but like watching church culture kind of shift and change a little bit. Do you know that actually confession and absolution, something we did earlier, do you know that that used to happen actually like previous to Sunday mornings? They'd actually do private confession and absolution oftentimes on Friday or Saturday. Did you know that? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that is a real thing that is kind of lost now, but potentially could be represented here. Yes, it is. So you'd actually go to confession and receive absolution previous to even worship. And it's interesting because now, as I go to some churches, and even here we sometimes do it. See, oftentimes the emphasis and the focus is on singing, building me up. The songs get faster. Everything gets more exciting. The pastor comes up. He's a really charismatic dude. Everything's going. I'm getting so excited. And then at the end, they do the little pitch, right, where you come down and give your life to Jesus and confess your sins. That's fascinating to me. I'm not
sin is right or wrong necessarily. All I'm saying is you're beginning to see more and more of that kind of thing, which again, we do a confession absolution sometimes early on in the service like we did today. Sometimes we do it near the end of the service. I'm not saying one's right or wrong. All I'm saying is the emphasis is beginning to move towards confession, absolution, giving your life to Jesus is the end thing. It's the last thing. Then it's done. Huh. Isn't it interesting that John in 1 John writes confession, absolution stuff early on in the book? Let's start here. That fascinates me. See, it's God. It's our little diagram from last week. Do you remember our diagram? It's the relationship of God forgiving me, not then so that the arrow stops. It's just this arrow coming down, which I know people that treat it like that. There's just an arrow coming down every Sunday, and they can just do whatever they want the rest of the week. Arrow then comes down. God forgives. Grace, mercy. But what? Hold on. But the whole point of that is to drive us back out into the world. The whole point is to mend relationship with God, yes. Be obedient to Him, follow Him and what He's got, yes. And what is that? Pushes us back to creation, pushes us back to other people. It's love. Listen to what John says, chapter 2, verse 7. Look at what he says. Beloved, I am writing you no new command, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. I moved ahead there a little bit. Sorry, Lyle. It presses us out. What's that new command? It's love. What's the old command? Love. What was Adam and Eve in the garden? What were they to be doing? Loving each other. Loving God. Loving each other. Taking care of creation. And what is that new relationship with God as we are forgiven and receive that forgiveness? What does it do? It drives us right back out to what it was meant to be. To love each other. Care for creation. See, this is my third point. The third point, this is one I'd tweet out if I were you. Forgiveness frees us to love. Forgiveness frees us to love. Follow this thought here. Try to follow me here because I don't have it on the screen. I want to make sure I get this right. Love that strives. Watch this. I just switched that. Love, starting spot love. Love that strives to be forgiven isn't love. Because that love is selfish. Love, start with love. Love that always strives to be forgiven. Maybe if I just love enough people, maybe if I just care for my neighbor, then God will love me and forgive me. See, that can't happen like that. Because love for others for the sake of being forgiven by God, that's selfishness. You're trying to get God to care for you. And there's a whole lot of people, by the way, who live exactly like that. That's how their lives look. That could be you today. That's just something to turn from. And to just recognize it's all flipped. You just got it all backwards. It's okay. We're all there too. We get this stuff so easily kind of switched around. No, it's receiving the forgiveness that Jesus has for us, and it bleeds out to the new command and the old command. What is that command? To love God and love other people. Love God, love, this is what Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Some of the most loving people that I know, Some of the most loving people that I know are the people who understand just how much they've really been forgiven. I'm talking about real people. Real people who understand just how much they've been forgiven. Jesus says this of the woman. She's been forgiven a lot. So she's going to love a lot. And if you're forgiven a little, then you're going to love little. Where there's increase of forgiveness, there's increase of love. This is why some of you who really understand the stuff you're in and how bad it really is, when you understand that Jesus really does love you and that he actually forgives that stuff, you become the biggest lovers. You become the biggest lovers. And it's actually those of us who sometimes are like, I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not that screwed up. We don't love. It was interesting. It's interesting how John weaves forgiveness and love, and he does this with light and darkness. Did you see that? Did you see some of that theme? It's tough to kind of honestly preach on this. It was interesting because as soon as I heard it this week, I was like, I got to share this. I knew I had to bring it into the message. It was about 3:30 in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock, one day this past week. And my youngest boy came into our bedroom and woke us up. And I picked him up and I was like, Trax, dude, we got to go back to bed, bud. So I started walking with him back to bed. And we're standing in the living room and he is just wide awake. He's like, I'm ready to go. Let's get on. You want to play Legos? Let's do something. I was like, dude. And I just took him over by like one of the windows. I was like, look outside, bud. It is dark outside. It's so dark. You got to go back to bed. Daddy's got to go back to bed. Do you remember that, Trax? Yeah. Cool, man. But it was so cool. It was so cool because he's looking outside and he just says to me, he says, Dad, when is the daylight coming? I like that. When is the daytime coming, Dad? See, did you hear that in the text? When is the daytime coming? See, when there's so much darkness, some of you are right there right now, there's so much darkness, and you're just like, when is the daylight coming? When does it get to be daytime? Look at what it says. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. It's already beginning to shine into your life. The forgiveness of our God. The love of our God for you. Not because you have loved enough people. Nope. No. Because he simply loves you. Even when you're his enemy. This is Romans. Even when you're his enemy, he loved you. And he demonstrates this love for you and for me. This is the demonstration. This is my fourth and final point. The kind of love we're talking about is tangible love. Tangible love. See, our culture says to love everybody. That's funny to me because our culture doesn't even know what love is. But love everybody. Love everybody. What we're talking about here is tangible love. We're talking about the very thing that John starts off this letter with. He says, we saw him. We touched him. We heard him. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Word that was from the beginning. Go read 1 John again, chapter 1. Who is from the beginning. We've seen him. He's come. He's really here. All those times we were like, God, if you just show up, then it would be all much. He actually shows up. He comes in the flesh, tangibly demonstrating his love for us. Like John's like, no, I was at the foot of the cross. I saw him die. I could touch the cross. I could touch him. Like he did that for me. I saw the blind guy's eyes get opened. I could hear Jesus as he taught, and his the word was, it was so powerful, we could feel there was something different, something authoritative about this guy. It's, there's something different going on here. It's real, it's tangible. And then, as he begins to speak of the forgiven, he says, those forgiven will begin to be freed up to love others, and that love will be tangible. It will be a kind of love that can be heard. You'll be able to hear it. It's a kind of love that's, you'll be able to touch it. You'll be able to eat it. You'll be able to, it's going to be real. It's not going to be just, I love everybody. No, it's going to be the kind where like, it's going to be the kind where you like see somebody in need and it's like, I want to make you cookies, Gary. And I just bring cookies to Gary. And Gary's going to take a bite and he's going to taste love. It's going to be in the context of relationship. It's going to be in the context of real. It's going to be tangible. It's going to be a tangible kind of love. There's going to be actual prayers that go up on behalf of. It's going to be real. And sometimes we say things like, I love my neighbor, but I don't like my neighbor. You ever say that? Yeah, baloney. Baloney. I know I've said that. I'll wave my hand. I've totally said that. What does that mean, though? What are you trying to get off the hook of when you say, I love my neighbor, but I don't have to like my neighbor? You're saying, I don't have to do tangible things of love. I can kind of keep a distance and just kind of love them over there. And I get it. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about places where you need to have boundaries. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, have you, in the with the excuse of, I don't like those people, actually backed away from tangible love in the name of, I love them? If that's you this morning, that's something you might have to work through. Because the love of Jesus for you and for me is not theoretical. It's real. It's present. A lot of times we do this thing called communion. I mean, he gives us his body and blood and we put it into us. And we feel the waters of baptism as it washes. There's tangible. It's a means of receiving grace and mercy. And it comes even through people. As he dwells inside of us and we come into contact with this broken world. I don't know exactly what you needed to hear this morning. You know, I think of my last verse, I didn't have it up here, but chapter 2, verse 6. You know, we're going to walk like Jesus walked. We'll do the kinds of things he did. It's going to be real. If you today have switched it around and you are trying to love people so that you might earn God's love and forgiveness, you're doing it wrong. You got it backwards, and it's something you actually need to repent of. May the forgiveness of Jesus and what he's done for you, may that free you to actually love even your enemy. Even those who are against you. May it free you to have love be tangible as we learn from Jesus who does that for us. May we not make forgiveness the end thing. It's the beginning thing. It's the thing to start your morning with. Father, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of your grace and your mercy, and may that transform how I step out into this day. It's the beginning spot. It's not the end. The cross isn't a means to an end, or a means unto itself, I mean. It's a means to something even more. A new creation. A new creation. Restoration. His return. Ooh, baby. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for all of us. Father, as we wrap up this time, we do so recognizing that we've switched some of this stuff around at times in our hearts and in our minds. We have we've made some mistakes around this. We have turned your forgiveness into something that we receive, and then we go live however we want to live, because next week I can receive it again, and the next week I can receive it again. And we, what? If we're still walking in darkness, I mean, Jesus, thank you for John and his words. If we're still walking in darkness because we still hate our brother, even though we say we love him, even though we say we're in the light, no, we're in darkness. So forgive us for that, Lord. God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts to how this word needs to get to us this morning, how it needs to shape us and change us. It's going to hit different people, I think, in different ways. And God, I just pray that you would, your spirit, you know us better than we know ourselves. So I just pray that you just work that word in us now and do in us what needs to be done. We receive your forgiveness. But Jesus, let it not be the end spot. Let that be then what drives us out into this next week. Loving people. Loving people. Putting us back into right relationship with creation itself. That's the kind of stuff that fires you up, Lord. Help that be the kind of stuff that fires us up as we live out our new creation, new creativeness, creationness that's found in you. Please do that. Holy Spirit, we rely on your strength. We rely on your power to do that this next week. May we live as your sons and your daughters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing this morning. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may he bless you and keep you this next week. May he make his face to shine upon you. May you know that you are forgiven, and may that change you to love the world around you as you go in his peace. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Peace, guys. Booyah.